Our first reading this morning is from Isaiah and chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. We read this not long ago, and it happens to be very good to read it again this morning. Isaiah 60. I mentioned it last time, I'll mention it again. Here we have a conversation going on in Isaiah 60. Keep this in mind now. Verses 1 to 7a, the first bit of chapter, the first bit of verse 7. So verses 1 to 7a, what we have here is the prophet Isaiah speaking about or to our Lord Jesus. Verse 7b to 9a, we have Jesus responding to Isaiah. And then verse 9b is Isaiah responding again to the Lord Jesus. And then the best bit, I think, is verses 10 to 14, where our Father is speaking to our Lord Jesus. So we've got this little conversation to keep in mind. Now, as we read Isaiah 60, ask yourself the question, what happens to the world when Jesus shines? What happens to the world when Jesus shines? Isaiah 60, from verse 1, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart will swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitude of camels shall cover your land, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall ascend with acceptance on my altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these who fly like a cloud and like doves to their roosts? Surely the coastlands shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish will come first. To bring your sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them, to the name of the Lord your God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you. The sons of foreigners shall build up your walls, and their kings shall minister to you. For in my wrath I struck you, but in my favor I have had mercy on you. Therefore your gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring to you the wealth of the Gentiles and their kings in processions. For the nation and the kingdom which will not serve you will perish, and those nations shall be utterly ruined. The glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the cypress, the pine, and the box tree together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary. And I will make the place of my feet glorious. Also the sons of those who afflicted you shall come bowing down to you, and all those who despised you shall fall prostrate at the soles of your feet, and they shall call you the city of the Lord, Zion, of the Holy One of Israel. That's what happens to the world when Jesus shines. Now turn with me for our next reading, John chapter 12. John chapter 12. We'll read verses 23 to the end, I think. John chapter 12, verses 23 to 50, and I want you to keep in mind here, notice how the light of the Lord Jesus overcomes the darkness of people's unbelief. John chapter 12, from verse 23. Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what will I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. Therefore the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all peoples to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. The people answered him, we have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn, so that I should heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Then Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Amen. May God bless the reading of his words to us. So if you turn with me then in your Bibles to John's Gospel and chapter 1, John chapter 1. We're carrying on our series in John's Gospel. Should we have a little recap of what we've done so far since we've had a little gap? We said in our little introduction, didn't we? We looked at chapter 20, verse 31, where John identifies Jesus as the one that you and I are looking for. The one that we need in life, the one who satisfies us, the only one that we truly need. Remember how he says right at the end of his gospel, he says, I've written all of these things, I've written this gospel, I've written all of these words, so that you may know that the one that you need is Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. It's this person, Jesus. We looked at the very beginning of John's gospel, verses 1 to 4, didn't we? We noticed that Jesus is the beginning. He's the rhyme and reason of all that exists. He's the Word of God, the only way by which we may know God. The only way. And then we ran out of time, didn't we? Because there's an awful lot in John's Gospel. Every verse is just really fat, isn't it? And so we ran out of time before we got to verse 5. And so we've barely started, haven't we? But we've already found the importance of knowing the Lord Jesus and the Father who sent him. This morning we'll pick up where we left off last time in verse 5 of chapter 1, John chapter 1 verse 5. Now remember, in this little section, verses 1 to 18 of John's Gospel is like an introduction, a prologue. And he introduces lots of themes in this section that are going to come up time and time and time again through the rest of John's Gospel. So I'm going to read to you now verses 1 to 9. And I want you to tell me if you notice any themes which John is introducing. So I'll read to you verses 1 to 9, and then I want you to tell me what theme is he introducing from verse 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. So what theme do you think John is introducing from verse 5? It's not too tricky a question, I don't think, is it? What theme is he introducing? Altogether? Light. Light. He's introducing the theme of light to us. He says that Jesus is light. He says that Jesus is the light. Even in verse 9, the true light. What do you think John is getting at in calling Jesus light? Well, what does light do? Light is that thing which reveals, isn't it? It shows things up. I don't know if you had to get up last night to go to the toilet. Some people have to do that all the time. Or get up for a drink or something. I don't think that you stumbled around in the dark, did you, looking for your bathroom? You turn the light on. Because when you turn the light on, it reveals all the things that would be in your way. So light reveals. And light, it exposes as well, doesn't it? It exposes. It can be a bit sinister like that sometimes. It can be a bit difficult like that, that it exposes. You might think of, let's say, you get up in the morning on a winter's day when it's still dark when you get up and you are squinting, you go into the bathroom, and you turn the light on in front of the mirror, and bleh. The light has exposed all of your sleepy bed hair and the sleep in your eyes, and it's not a pretty picture sometimes, is it? So light reveals and light exposes. And this is what John is getting at when he calls the Lord Jesus light. The light which he is reveals God to us. Without it, without Jesus Christ, we cannot know God. We cannot see him. And on the other hand, he exposes. He exposes us in all of our truth, the naked truth of who we are. He exposes. And so this is going to recur through John's Gospel quite powerfully, that the person and the work of Jesus reveals God to us, and we couldn't know him otherwise, and he reveals us to ourselves. He exposes us to ourselves, and we couldn't know the truth of that otherwise either. If you turn over a couple of pages to chapter 3, and from verse 19, we have these words here. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. That's the exposure, isn't it? Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. So John shows us Jesus Christ and says he is the light that we need to reveal God as our Father and to expose us as the needy sinners we are. And so we've only stepped one more verse into John, haven't we? Just one more verse, and he has hit the same point again, that Jesus is our only hope. Our only hope. Very easy question for you. Can we know God without Jesus Christ? No. Not even a bit. There's a verse in the pastorals, can't remember where it is, but it says, we believe in God because of Jesus Christ. Another easy question. Can you know yourself without Jesus Christ? We can't. We might think that we can, we might feel that we know ourselves, but without Jesus Christ, we can only wonder about ourselves and about God. We can never come to a knowledge of the truth, that we can never come to the eternal life that is knowing God and Jesus Christ who he has sent, without Jesus and the light that he sheds. So let's look at this then. I've got 3 points for you. Hopefully we'll get through them. Jesus is the true light. The world is dark, and the light overcomes the darkness. First of all then, Jesus is true light. Stepping a bit further now into John chapter 1, I want to ask you, who is the greatest person that has ever lived besides Jesus? Who would you say is the greatest person who has ever been born apart from Jesus? I don't know who you would say. Who's your instinctive thought? Maybe it's your favorite celebrity, a great political leader or something like that. Jesus once said, among those born of women, there has not risen one who is greater than who? Thank you, John the Baptist. John the Baptist. And that's who we have here in verse 6 of John chapter 1. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. John the Baptist. So we've got two Johns now to keep in mind. John the Apostle, who wrote this book, and we've got John the Baptist, who appears in the book. We're going to talk a bit more about John the Baptist in the future, so I'll have to try to contain myself now, because he is an absolutely titanic legend of history. He is amazing. Really is. He's massively underappreciated, and it can't but be the case, I think. He was so heavenly, he was so obviously from God, that people were mistaking him for the Christ. You get that in verse 8. John himself has to clear it up. He says, he was not the light, but he just came as a witness to the light. So here's John the Baptist, the greatest man who's ever been born of women, apart from Jesus. And despite this man's unique greatness, what was his ministry? Despite how great he was, what was his catchphrase? Do you know? What's the phrase that he is most known for? Look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's his ministry. Despite how great he is, he says, you think I'm the light? You think I'm the light? You think I can show you God by my teaching and my preaching? Look at him. Look. Here he is. John's whole existence was about pointing people to believe in Jesus. You get that in 1:15. John testifies concerning Jesus, saying, this is he who I was talking about. This is the one I'm pointing you to. You've got it there in 1:29. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You've got it in verse 34. John the Baptist says, I have seen and I testify that this Jesus is the Son of God. So here we have John the Apostle and John the Baptist. They're holding hands and they're pointing us from ourselves and from themselves to Jesus Christ. And they're saying, this is the true light. This is the original light. The archetypical light, the first light, the real thing, light. Because the Lord Jesus has come into the world, now God is revealed to every man and every woman. Because Jesus has come into the world, we are all exposed to the truth about who God is and who we are. Is there anyone in all the world with an excuse, having heard of Jesus Christ? Jesus is the light that we need. He reveals God to us and he exposes us to ourselves, and there's no way to that truth besides him. How do you think Jesus reveals God to us then? Well, when he appears, he is God. You've got that in verse 1, haven't you? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You've got it in verse 14 that we'll get to next week, God willing. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the only one and begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You've got it in verse 18, where it says that nobody has seen God at any time, but Jesus has revealed him. You've got it when Jesus opens his mouth and speaks, haven't you? When he speaks, he reveals the words of God. We hear God's words from his mouth. You've got it when he acts. When he does things, he does things that only God does, and he reveals God to us. How do we know that God is the one who heals? How do we know that God is a God of justice? How do we know that God is a God of love, etc.? Because Jesus does it, and he reveals God to us in all the things that he does, especially on that cross. When God himself enters the darkness and lays down his life there in the dark, that he might be light to all of us sinners. Jesus reveals God in the way that he is, the way that he speaks, and the way that he acts. And it applies, doesn't it, the other way? How is it that Jesus exposes us, reveals to us what we are truly like? How is it that he tells us what mankind is like? When he appears, he exposes us, showing us what he ought to be. We see him and we're like, I'm not like that. We see him and we say, that's real humanity. There it is. There is real human flesh and bone. There is a real man who is most like what man ought to be. When he opens his mouth and he teaches, he says, listen here, let me tell you what your heart is like. When he opens his word and he teaches, he reveals the truth about our own sin and our own self and our need of saving. And when he acts, when he does things, he shows us what true humanity is. He shows us what humans are supposed to be like, always loving, always serving, always laying down his life for others. So we're saying, aren't we, that Jesus Christ is the true light. That he reveals God, that he exposes man, that he's the truth. Let me ask you, do you think that John the Apostle is overstating it? Do you think he's messing around? Because we need to take it seriously, don't we, that he is saying that for all of those enormous big questions, we need to go to this person, this man, this God, Jesus. That's what he's saying. And we need to take that seriously. If somebody ever asks you the question, who is God? Or who am I? What is it to be human? What is identity? These are deep questions about God, about reality, about self, the meaning of life, and they're questions that society struggles with all the time. And John is saying all of those questions are answered in Jesus because he is the light of men. This is where you go for your answers, and I'm asking you to take that seriously. Because as a church, generally speaking in the world, particularly in the West, I dare say, we need to recover that confidence that here is the locus of the truth. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. He is the truth. He is the light, the true light. Now, before I go off on a tangent and
shoot myself in the foot or say something silly. Let's move on to the world is dark. That's the next point. The world is dark. If Jesus is light entering the world, what does that say about the world apart from it is dark? John is presuming that, isn't he, as he's going through chapter 1 in the first few verses, that the world is a dark place. And he gets really obvious, doesn't he, as he gets through verses 9 to 12, when he's saying things like, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world, i.e. the world is dark. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor of a husband's will, but born of God. The world is a dark place, he says. Now, John has a really specific way of using the word world. You might have heard this before. I don't know if you have. Some of you will have, I'm absolutely sure. But John has a really specific way of using the word world. Now, what do you mean when you say world? You might mean the planet that we're on. Or you might mean everything. You might say, what sort of turns of phrases we have where we use the word world and we want to refer to the universe or everything that exists or all of creation. John doesn't use it like that. John doesn't use the word world to mean everything. As we go through the gospel, it will become abundantly clear that he uses the word world to mean the world as it is hostile against the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He doesn't mean it's neutral. He doesn't mean good people. He doesn't mean Christians. He means sinners opposed to God. He means creation as it is in the dark. He means humanity without Jesus Christ, people without the knowledge of God, ignorant of our own sin. In short, when John uses the word world, he means the enemy of the Father, Son, and Spirit. The enemy. Because then the world is hostile to God, we might expect that it's not going to go very well for the world. We might expect the world to take the part of the doomed enemy, the defeated foe, as we go through John's gospel. But John really surprises us with the truth. The world is not merely condemned, but is loved. Not the enemy that is to be utterly destroyed, not just that, but the enemy who is to be loved and sought, rescued and redeemed. It is amazing. I mean, keep that hostility in mind, the hostility of the world as it is against the Father, Son and Spirit. Keep that hostility in mind, and then we'll read verses 9 and 10 again. What does God do with his enemies, with this world that is so hostile against him? The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world. Although the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Chapter 3 and verse 16, keep that hostility of the world in mind. The world is the enemy of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it says in verse 16, for God, that is the Father, so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow! The Father loves the world so much that he would give his Son. Although we are enemies, although we are in the dark, the Father loves us. Although we are against him, he sends his Son. And his Son says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me, whoever believes in me, shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So here is Jesus, the true light, who steps into a dark world and finds us, the enemies of God, those who are opposed to him, and he exposes us as the undeserving enemies that we are, and then he reveals God as the Father who loves us so that he might be known in the light. Have you experienced that? Has that happened to you? Some of us can put a date and a time on it. Some of us say it was a period. Some of us aren't sure when it happened, but we know it happened. But the Father sent the Son to me, and he exposed me as the sinner that I am. He showed me that I was wretched and that I needed saving. And he showed me God, my enemy, to be my Father, to be my Savior. It's very uncomfortable when it happens. Jesus even refers to it sometimes as a burning light. And yet it is so gracious that on one hand it would expose us to the ugliness that is within ourselves, but on the other it shows us the light and the grace and the forgiveness that is in God for us, in Jesus. Without this light, we are completely without hope and without God in the world, isn't it? Let's finish then with the light that overcomes the darkness. Light overcomes the darkness. What happened when this light came into the world? It says there in verse 9, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world, or something to that effect, isn't it? Depending on what translation you've got. What happens when that light shines in the world? Was there a revival? Everywhere Jesus was going, people were throwing themselves at his feet. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people all being converted. Sometimes it looked really dark. Although the true light shone in this world, sometimes it looked really dark. The true light was shining, but it seemed ineffective. You've got it there in verse 11. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Men love darkness rather than light, isn't it? We can think about that with our own family and friends that we just prayed for, and for all of Maese Kuma that we just prayed for. There are so many people upon whom the light has shone. They have heard about Jesus Christ. They have heard about God, the Judge and the Father. They've heard about the one who would condemn them as enemies and love them as enemies. That in a strange way he would love them while he hates them. They've heard the gospel, the good news of Jesus who reveals God and exposes the truth. But they will not have it. They love the darkness rather than the light. And our hearts go out to them because we were there. We know what it's like. What's happening here in these verses and throughout John's gospel? John is picking up on the Old Testament theme of the people who will not come to the light that the Father sends to them in Jesus Christ. Let me read these words to you from Isaiah 65, verses 1 and 2. These are the words of Jesus. The Father sends him as a light into the world, and he says, I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, here I am. To a nation that was not called by my name, I have stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good. He stands there with his arms outstretched. He says, here I am, the light of the world, and people would not have him. We had it in our reading, didn't we? In John 12, verse 37. You might want to turn there again because it's quite an important chapter. I'll read another verse from it in a moment. John 12 and verse 37. Although Jesus had done so many signs before them, you might say, although he shone so brightly, so obviously before them, they did not believe in him. So the light is supposed to overcome the darkness, John says, doesn't he? The light shone in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. But here he is, shining away, and nothing happens. Do you remember the kids' talk a couple of weeks ago? I got down there, I was running around like a loony with my torch on my phone, do you remember? And it doesn't matter how dark we made it in here, I turned the lights off, I closed the blinds, I put my coat around the light. We couldn't get the light to go away. No matter how dark it gets, the light will always overcome. God has sown that into the fabric of reality. That's the way the universe works. Wonderful, isn't it? He's designed it like that. Despite the hostility, despite the sin, despite the darkness, some will yet still, nevertheless, believe in Jesus. Praise the Lord for that. That although they are enemies, they will yet be made the children of God, John says. Although God is just this brass sky to them, they can't see him, they can't know him, he will yet be revealed as their Father. No matter how dark it is, the light will still overcome. And Jesus proves this in his ministry, going about place to place, revealing God. Going about to place, preaching the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of Satan cannot stop him. He heals the blind. He lets in the light. You can think of some great examples, can't you? My favorite is the demoniac. Do you remember that one? Legion? Can you imagine somebody in a more dark position? A Gentile, far from God and God's people. He was demon-possessed. He literally lived in a grave. That's how dark his life was. And Jesus' light shone on him, and he was saved. Even Pharisees who are locked in their blindness, who cannot believe, they will yet believe. If you look at John 12 again, we've got there in verse 37, although Jesus did all these things, they would not believe in him. Verse 42, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. Many of us would love to put our name, wouldn't we, on the end of that long list of people who lived in the dark, who had no hope, who loved the darkness, who would not believe, and nevertheless, the light of Jesus shone on us, and we believed. How dark did it get then in Jesus' ministry? All those people who would not believe. The darkness was thickest when Jesus, the true light of God, was smothered to a point of extinguished. Darker than any enemy, darker than any demon or devil, all of our sins, all of our hostility, all of our worldliness, all of our enmity against God was put on him, and it swallowed him whole. The darkness covered the land, and the sun refused to shine. Jesus says in Psalm 18, "My enemies were too strong for me." Even there, when it was that dark, was the light overcome? Was it? No. Even there, even when he descends to the place where all darkness is in the grave, even where he descends to the place where there is no light, even when he goes to the place where nobody can even praise God, he says in his word, even there the light overcomes the darkness. The darkness cannot overcome him. The light of Christ shone from that empty tomb. We sang, didn't we, a moment ago, it struck me, from 190. Born to a cross by cruel hands of men in darkness held, judgment and death eclipsed the sun while lies deceived the world. And out of a tomb of dark despair, the Prince of Light arose. The truth prevails, and grace abounds. In all the world it flows. That is what John chapter 1, verse 5 means. When it says that the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it, could not understand it, could not master it, it means that the light of God in Jesus is overwhelming. No darkness, no opposition, nothing can resist it. Nothing can master it. Nothing can overcome or comprehend it. Jesus says, "I have overcome the world." Sinners now know themselves. Sinners know their need for Jesus. Sinners know God as Father and are converted from enemies in the world to children of God in the kingdom of heaven. Praise the Lord for the light that is in Jesus Christ. So there's John chapter 1, verses 1 to 13. We've made it 13 verses. And it has explained things, hasn't it, so clearly. the rhyme and the reason of the universe and existence, the deepest questions that people struggle with all the time and write massive, great, big books about. And us lot here in this building in Maisukuma, we've got all the answers. It says in these verses that the Father has made all things through Jesus Christ. And because of sin, everything, including us, has fallen into darkness, has fallen into ignorance and death. That human beings like us, we live in the dark and we love the dark. We are the enemies of God, naturally speaking. We don't know him, we don't know his son, we don't even know ourselves. This is the truth, and you and I are privileged to know it. Despite that way that it is, the Father sends Jesus, who comes to enlighten and reconcile us sinners in the dark. And although we will not have him, some yet receive him. And these are the children of God, those of us who once lived in the dark, but because of Jesus, we now have the light of God. We now have the light of men. So I'll finish with this. What does it mean? What does all this mean for the world of which we are a part, the world in John's sense, of which we are a part? What does it mean for this world to which Jesus came? For people like you and me and our families, for places like Maisukuma, what does it mean? One, I've got two things. One, it means that none of us have any hope whatsoever of resisting the powerful, bright work of Jesus. We have no hope of stopping him. If he's going to save somebody, we can't stop him. You can't stop him. There is nothing at all that will resist that work that he does. When he determines to shine on someone and to bring the light of life to them, which they so desperately need, nothing will stop him. That light will shine in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. So that's one, that we have no hope of resisting him. Two, that everybody, absolutely everybody, has a wonderful, wonderful hope. There is no darkness in you or me which can possibly overcome the light which Jesus will shine into us. There is no sin that can stop him. There is no backsliding that will push him far enough away that we cannot see his light. There is no devil that can take that light away. There is no doubt that can smother it. We have a great hope that there is nothing in us at all, no matter how worldly we are, no matter how much we belong to this world, no matter how opposed we are to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, nothing can stop that light from breaking in and showing up all of our sin and showing us the Father, who will wash it away even at the cost of his own Son, because the light shines in the darkness and the darkness cannot overcome it. So let us pray this, please, for ourselves, for our families, and for Maisukuma, that the Father would be pleased to send Jesus to shine brightly here, even here in front of us, so that we might be exposed to ourselves as people who need the Lord Jesus, that we might see God as our Father in heaven. Jesus said, "I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not remain in the dark, but have the light of life." Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we bless and thank you for sending the Lord Jesus as the light, the true light of God and the true light of men into a world, even a world as dark as ours. Thank you for showing that mercy to us, for so being so gracious towards us when we were yet your enemies. Still you sent Jesus to us to enlighten us, to show us our own hostility and the futility of that, to show you, Father, to us, and that we may know you as our Father who art in heaven, the Father of all consolation and comfort. Father, we ask you for ourselves that you should shine the light of the gospel on us, that we might be better acquainted with our own sinfulness and our own need of a Saviour, and that we might be better acquainted with him who is our Saviour, that we might better know him who died, that we might be forgiven. We ask you, Lord, to shine upon our friends and our family that do not yet know you. Lord, they live in the dark. And we ask you, Lord, we intercede on their behalf. We beg you for them that you should shine on them, that they might see the error of their ways and come to trust the Lord Jesus as the Lamb of God who would take away even their sin. And we ask you, Lord, to shine upon my Sukuma. Lord, we are waiting, just waiting for you to pour out the Holy Spirit on this place, that many would be convicted of their sin and come to put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who would die to forgive them. All we can do, Lord, is ask you and wait. But Lord, we are filled with great hope because Jesus Christ is the light of the world and the light of men. Amen.